Good morning, church. Come on. I'm coming in hot today. Be ready. Prepare yourself. First off, happy Black History Month. It still exists in here, will always exist. That's who we are. It's not an option, it's not a decision to make for us. It's part of who we are. And I think we should start this morning by declaring who we are at Relentless Church, where the gospel NL. Forever. Multi-ethnic movement. So beautiful. And we do that for a couple reasons. We do that, first of all, to loosen you up. Second of all, to declare who we are as a church. It's our identity. And we also do it for me because there's all kinds of churches out there. Some of you have been to a lot of them. And there are those churches. Maybe you've heard about these churches. There's churches where it's a sin for you to talk while I'm preaching, right? So we try to set the tone from the get-go. That's not how it is here. So if I can tell you from the get-go, it's okay for you to say Centro Focused Movement, then that lets you know as I'm talking and you're agreeing that you can let the people around you know I agree with that. If you don't like something I'm saying, feel free to boo. I would rather you boo than sleep. So we're going to stay engaged. So that's the kind of church we are. We're just trying to make progress. That's the series. The series ends today, but the word doesn't. This is the word of the year for us. We're just trying to make progress. So we'll keep talking about progress all year, but we're going to end the message series today, and it kind of launches us. I'll tell you where we're going next week from here. But as we make progress, we want to talk about this phrase, training over trying. Don't worry. We want you to try, but we just like training better. Let me illustrate it, the story from a friend of mine named Jeff, who I met in Kentucky. And Jeff, he was a long shot. We're a church, we say we love the long shot. If you know somebody or you're a long shot to come to Jesus, we're all about that. So Jeff was a long shot. He had a lot of God believers in his family tree, no Jesus followers. So he was the first in a long line of people that believed in God and didn't follow Jesus. He began to follow Jesus, and he had a lot of addiction in his family tree, in his own life, just a mess in a lot of ways. And he came to Christ, it was a beautiful thing. And over time, he started to fade in some of that excitement. And I didn't see him as much. And then eventually I didn't see him at all. So I reached out to him, and I finally got in front of him. I was like, man, what's going on? He's like, you know, I'm just busy. I was like, nobody's that busy, right? Busy, sometimes busy means busy. A lot of times in my line of work, busy means something's going on. So it's like, no, Jeff, I know you. You don't like talk to me. Like, you're different. What happened? And he said, if you want me to be honest, which I always do, but that usually means brace yourself. He said, if you want me to be honest, he said, I love what Jesus does for you and the people at the church. I applaud it. Like, I genuinely, I'm for it. It just didn't work for me. It broke my heart. And I was, like last week, feelings and faith. Some of you, I was just praying with some people after first service, and they were struggling with, the result I want isn't happening. What am I doing wrong? Right? We can't go there. Just because things aren't like they should be doesn't mean it's your fault. There may be some role that God calls you to play. So as a young pastor, when Jeff said that, I was like, oh man, what did I do wrong? And so we really had a long conversation through that. And what it came down to was he was seeing people follow Jesus and he was trying his best to follow Jesus. And it doesn't work, right? We're not anti-trying. We just like training more because it actually works. When you're talking about following Jesus, trying your best leads to discouragement, pride, shame, a lot of bad things. It just doesn't get us where we want to go. And that was Jeff's story is, I'm trying, but there was no training, right? So there was a lack of progress, and eventually he just gave up. So I dedicate this message to him. Paul, talking to a young pastor named Timmy, we call him Timothy, he said, hey, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, all this nonsense, like you're going to hear a bunch of stuff going on. Don't focus on that. Have nothing to do with it. Rather, instead, spend your time and energy training yourself to be godly. This is spiritual training. We understand training as a culture. There's a lot of stuff out there on physical training. It's talking about your faith training. What are you doing to spiritually train? Train yourself to be godly. He continues, the next verse says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And then the Holy Spirit directed Paul to say, just to let us know. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. This is a big deal. You need to lock in on this idea of godly training, because physical training has some value, right? So it's not wrong to go to the gym, right? It's not, in our culture, you go to the gym to look good in the summer, right? God's not really into how you look in a bathing suit. Do we say bathing suit? I feel so old when I say that. What does he call them? A swimsuit? Am I okay? Swimsuit. You're right. Swimsuit for the camera. What was I talking about? We train often to see how we look, and God's not into that. But physical training does have some value. That's in Scripture. Why? Because we want to be people of Jesus. We're kinder when we're healthier. We're nicer people when we're healthier. We're more productive. We're more fruitful. And don't hear, we're not anti-trying. We're pro-fruit. We're pro all those things. And the healthier we are, and health has to do with rest, it has to do with eating, it does have to do with exercise. God is letting us know, in this life, but only this life, it doesn't carry over. The work you put into the gym doesn't go with you into the forever that we claim to be focused on. It's just for here. It's smart to be healthy. But the training we're talking about is double. It works here and it works there. It matters in this physical life and it matters in the eternity that we're headed to. So it's of double value. It's of more value. And think about it in our culture. I don't have the numbers. If we compare time, how many hours and how many dollars we spend on physical training in our culture, and then compare that. And I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about in this room, 11 o'clock Relentless. Compare that to how many hours and emphasis and money we spend on physical training versus spiritual training, how much effort and intensity we put into spiritual training, when one is only matters for this tiny little life and the other matters for forever. So we're not anti-trying unless we're trying to earn our salvation. Then we are anti-trying, because you can't earn God's love or salvation. If your performance, if you think your behavior this past week is what makes God love you, we're anti that, right? Because that's not the gospel. If the gospel is in the center, we got to live by the gospel, and the gospel is he loves you because he loves you. Some of you still haven't gotten past that part. You really think he loves you based on how well you did this week. Well, if I didn't have a good week, then why would he love me? Because that's who he is. He is a God of love. Just sit in it and accept it. And it's not going to make you go live crazy. It's actually going to make you come closer to God to realize his love is not dependent on your behavior. It's reckless, it's relentless, and it's real. So we're not trying to earn that love. We're just trying to do what works. So we're not anti-effort. You have a role to play. We'll get to that. But we're trying to train. What are we doing? What are we trying to do? We're trying to train, because training works and trying doesn't. Let me illustrate by picking on my mother. Is that all right? She's with Jesus now. She understands. She's smiling. Somebody at first service said, what year is that? This is my mom's weight. All right, back off. All right, so Superstar Orbitron. I don't know if that company exists. 6.6 pounds. I don't know why such a weird weight. But she was a workout machine. Like, we'd come home, and she was always doing something, right? And we're like, Mom, what are you doing? And she would not do things necessarily correctly. Now, she's from New York, so the grit, the grind was not an issue. There was never an issue with trying, right? We came in one day, she was in the living room doing her thing, and she had this weight, and she was, Mom, what are you doing? I'm working out. Leave me alone. Working out. What are you working out exactly? What is that move? She's like, it's a tricep extension. Mom, it's not. Right? You're not doing anything for your tricep. It's more, I didn't know my mom had a tricep. All right? So I tried to show her, being the expert that I am. I had to wear long sleeves today because I don't want to scare anybody. But a tricep, you're welcome. Tricep extension. You got to isolate the tricep. You do it nicely and pop that. Pow. 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 Somebody first service said you're going to be sore tomorrow. I'm so offended by that. My mom found a way to exercise without doing anything. She was trying, but she wasn't training anything. She was just moving, right? She was going through the motions with a sincere heart, and it wasn't worthless. Her heart rate probably got up with that move, right? Right, whatever that is. but it wasn't actually doing what she thought it was doing. Same here spiritually. You can do a lot of things. You can go through the motion spiritually and then get really discouraged. Like, it's not working. You're trying. You're honestly trying, but you're not training. Trying doesn't build the tricep. Training does. Right? So we got to understand the difference. Otherwise, we hurt people. There's a difference. Let me explain the difference between training and trying. Training involves a trainer. His name is Jesus. It's not me. I'm not your trainer spiritually. I'm your pastor. I'm not your trainer. Trying involves you. So the difference is the emphasis of who's doing the work. You're being trained. God's doing the training inside of you. It really comes down to who the hero is. Let's say I've got an issue. I'll talk about some of my issues at the end of the service. We don't have time for all of them. I'll just pick a few. All right? So let's say you've got an issue. If it's about trying, I'm going to do better this week. 2025, I'm going to make progress. That's our word, right? That's a good thing. I'm going to stop doing X, or I'm going to start doing this, whatever. I'm going to be better. I'm just going to willpower. I'm just going to, I'm going to try. And I succeed? Hero. I'm the story. Look what I did by my willpower and strength. If I fail, blew it again. I never even made it to February with my news resolution. Why do I always fall for the same thing? If you just can't win with that. If it's actually a real Jesus, it's not a pretend Jesus, not something to make ourselves feel better, but if he's alive and active and living in me and shaping and training me, and I see change in my life, there's no way I can walk around like, see what I did, y'all? Because I know it was done to me. I was under the authority of the trainer, and he's actually really good at forming us and shaping us and changing us into the people we were created to be. And he gets all the glory. That's what we're about. It's about partnering with him, right? So we're not saying don't do anything. You have a role. It's to partner with Jesus. But the issue is where the magic comes from. You know what I'm saying? The magic, the supernatural. I can try all day long. I have no supernatural in my effort, in my trying. We need the supernatural to become the people that God has called us to be. To do the things that God has called Relentless Church to do, we will not do it on our own effort and strength. It will take the supernatural power of God. Well, in the training comes the supernatural because we're submitting ourselves to God and his authority, and he brings the supernatural into this. He's the only, I can't change you. Nothing I can say up here can change you. God and his power of his Holy Spirit through the power and miracle of preaching and the work of the Holy Spirit, he can change people. I can't do that. You can't change your spouse as much as you might want to. That's God's work, right? We have to understand our role and know the supernatural comes from the supernatural God and God alone. He's really good at it. He's not stressed or intimidated about any change that needs to happen in this room. He's not looking at any of you today like, oh, I hope they don't sign up because I don't want to train that one, right? A good trainer, a good coach, the longer the person has to go, the more excited they get, right? And God's the best ever. There's no chance, and that's a bold statement because I don't know every story in this room. There's no chance there is one human sitting in this room that God's looking at saying, I don't know what I could do with that one. Right? He's so good at it. He bats 1,000, right? My friend Jeff, that's not a failure on God's part. He just was lacking training. It's like surgery. If I had surgery scheduled, which I do not, but if I had a surgery, I'm not doing the work. Surgery, like, it's a pretty good gig. You just lay there and sleep, right? My only role is to sign the papers, to let somebody open me up and do what needs to be done inside of me. That's sometimes our training. It does take effort. We'll talk about our role, but sometimes it's just giving God the authority to open me up and do what needs to be done inside of me, giving him that permission, giving him the authority in your life to clean what needs to be cleaned and to do what needs to be done. That's your part, is to trust, the process of trusting him with what needs to happen inside of you. And if you didn't know, there's something God wants to do inside of you, and that's always true, and that's okay. That's freeing. That's not stressful. It puts us all in the same boat and gives us so much just freedom just to say, yeah, we're all in the same process of trusting him. You know what your part is not? You know what God's not calling you to do today? Try harder. Just when I say try harder, I'm talking about your own strength, your own wisdom, your own effort. I just got to try harder. That's just not going to lead anywhere good. Our vision for our church is to continue to be what God's already called us to be. Right? We're in the process, if you didn't know, 2 years from yesterday, our lease runs out, so we're expecting. I have no building update. We're expecting God to do something amazing and beautiful to get us to our next location. We're still waiting on God to reveal those plans. He will in his perfect time. When we have updates, we will give them to you. We just ask you to continue to pray. But our vision is not the building. Our vision is continue to be centered on the gospel, focused on forever, and the multi-ethnic movement of God that calls us to be. I think for 10 years of Relentless Church history, there was years of that where we were always all in on the multi-ethnic movement, and there were years of that where nobody cared and nobody noticed, and we weren't really needed in Wake County. I feel like it's different in 2025. I feel like for the first time in the history of Relentless Church, we better be who God called us to be, because our culture and our community desperately needs a multi-ethnic church to be real, built on Jesus, right? And communicating the gospel and what it can do and what it is doing in this room among us and what we do. So let me give you a few important church announcements, because if I don't do it in the message, sometimes you don't listen because you got ADD and stuff, and that's okay. So I'm just going to trick you. I'm going to preach these announcements right in the middle of the message. You'll never knew they were announcements. It's a big deal for us to go back to small groups and homes. It's a huge deal. So this is a little seed I'm planting to get you excited about being in a home. It's a six-week thing starting the first week of March. Like, well, I'm out of town. It's not perfect attendance required, right? You don't have to be there every week. Our first step is getting our leaders in place, which we've pretty much done. Our second step is getting hosts. So we don't ask our leaders to host. We don't ask our hosts to lead. So we need houses spread across our community that are willing to host a small group. So that's my ask of you today. If you'd be willing to open up your house, then you go on our website, relentlesschurch.cc, to the What's Happening. There's a little thing you can fill out. Let us know where you live. Let us know how many people you don't have to have a mansion. You just got to be willing. So that's a big deal for our church coming in March, and that's our first step. So help us out if you can, if you would, as we do. Also, it's that time of year, getting that time of year of taxes. Giving statements, we thank you so much for your generosity, both to the Immeasurably More, which is our building campaign, and our general ministry fund, which allows us to do what we do each week and do ministry, pay our rent, and all those wonderful things. You get tax credit for giving to a nonprofit 501c3, which we are. So the way you get that is you get a giving statement. So we emailed all those out. If you gave to Relentless in 2024 and didn't give a giving statement, we want to know that. It's probably in your junk email because your inbox doesn't like our email sometimes. So check your junk. If it's not there, let us know. We'll make sure you get that statement if you gave. And then tomorrow night is such a big night. I'm so excited. One of our largest Welcome to Relentless classes ever. So exciting for so many new people saying, hey, we want to know more about what God's up to. If you didn't sign up, it's not too late. We got a few spots for you left. That's tomorrow night, 6:30 to 8:30. Child care is provided. We provide food. So excited about getting to meet some people. I've seen their names on emails. I've never met most of this crew. If you'd like to be involved in that, we do that a few times a year. You can sign up, but you got to sign up today to come tomorrow night. So if you're already been to Welcome Relentless or a partner with Relentless, be excited, be praying about tomorrow night. It's a big night for our church. Training over trying. Let me illustrate. You guys already know this. You just don't know how much you agree. And the beautiful thing in this service is I got options, because we are not just a multi-ethnic church, but a bilingual church. Anna, could you help me? Would you come up on stage? And my microphone is not here. Yeah, see, I was prepared if you said no. Come over here, and I had Michelle, you were next. we don't need a microphone. So, training over trying. Let's say, I'm not saying I'm committed to this, okay. But let's say, as a leader of a multi-ethnic church, that God's been putting something on my heart to learn Spanish, okay? Or Portuguese, in your case, or the many other languages in our room. So for this illustration, I'm going to learn Portuguese. Okay. All right, so I'm going to make everybody that doubts training over trying, they're going to understand that training and trying is different. So what I want you to do is I want you to tell all the people in Portuguese how you came to Relentless Church. And I'm going to understand what she says because I'm going to try. Well, can you slow down just a little bit, because I'm struggling just a little bit. Family.
Nós tínhamos filhos pequenos e sempre queríamos trazer as crianças na igreja. E resolvemos ir visitar a igreja que era lá no teatro em Cary. E as crianças adoraram, a gente gostou, o pastor era muito legal.
Wait, what?
The pastor was very nice.
Very nice. I didn't understand. I messed up. I know why I don't understand. We forgot a huge step. We didn't pray. Father, I want to know this language. I know you're the God of all languages. Help me understand Portuguese in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, keep going. Give me a little more. I'm going to do better this time. I'm going to try hard. Jesus is in me. Aí!
Nós fomos uma vez, gostamos da mensagem e continuamos a atender os domingos e acabamos ficando até agora, por esse tempo todo.
Amen. Can we give a hand for Anna, please? Thank you, Anna. What a good sport. What a good sport. Now, I wanted her to stand up here with me because we learned visually. I wanted you maybe for the rest of your life to have a visual image of the ridiculousness of trying without training. I can learn Portuguese. I'm not too old. It would take me years, probably not months, but there's no chance. We can pray. How cruel are we to people to say, follow Jesus. Come on, you can do it. You can't. You gotta train. Now you're like, well, there's a difference between learning a language and following Jesus. Both are equally foreign. Portuguese, like I picked out Familia and Carrie, and I knew she was saying something about me. I wasn't sure if it was good or bad. So I picked out enough, but it was foreign to me. I don't care who you are, following Jesus, being led by the invisible spirit, living for Jesus, not for yourself, that is foreign to us. It doesn't come natural. You've got to be trained to be led. We're not talking Jedi stuff. All the Jedi stuff they stole from the Bible anyway. It is a real thing. You have to be trained to have Jesus formed in you. And we're lying to people when we're telling them, we baptized 3 beautiful people last week. If our message to them is, go get them. Well, I'm struggling in my faith. Well, try. It's going to get the same results. We'll pray and then try. Well, we believe in prayer. We're a praying church. God does show up in prayer. But if we pray without training, we're going to get the look on my face when I'm trying to understand Portuguese. You guys know this. I don't have to convince you. And then the question is, well, why would God make it like that? If he wants us, the analogy, if he wants us to understand Portuguese, why? If he wants us to know how to follow him and be connected to him, why wouldn't he just snap his fingers as soon as we make a decision and are baptized or whatever? Why wouldn't he just give us the Holy Spirit, which he does? Why wouldn't that be the end of it? Why would there be any training required? I'll tell you why. Because he loves relationship. He loves to sit with you. And trying is you. Trying you can do on your own. He set up a system that the only way to follow Jesus takes time and relationship building. There's no other option but that. I'll use this example. My daughter, who I coached in basketball for 5 years, and when we started that, it was a rocky. Some of you have tried to wear that hat of being both parent and coach. Wouldn't recommend it. It was ugly in the early years. There was a particular story. I've told you the long story before, but the quick version is we got into it at practice, and I was like, I'm done with this. So I came home, I sat her down, I was like, you choose. Either you quit basketball or I quit coaching. We're not doing this. I thought we were past it, and it was just at each other, and it was bad. And that was kind of a bluff, but kind of not. But we figured it out. So by the end of her career, it meant so much to me as a dad, as a father, God's favorite word for us to call him, when she would say, Dad, can we get in the gym? Can you go help me? I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? She didn't use the word training, but she basically, can you get in the gym? And some days I was super excited to do that. A lot of days, I don't want to be in the gym, but I never said no because I loved the time of training her because it was relational, right? We were on the same page. We were working on something together, and she was needing. She had humbled herself through her career, and she was needing and wanting my help as a dad. And I was never going to say no to that. God gets more excited about being with you and training you spiritually in the spiritual lab and just putting in work on helping you become the person he created you to be. There's nothing better than stepping into the version of yourself that God created you to be. It's just never going to happen through trying. It's trying you can do by yourself. Training, you need Jesus. And that's what he's calling us to. That's what we're pretty excited about. You have options. When you realize I'm not okay, I'm out of alignment, whether it's an issue in your life, maybe it's, I know we've got people in this room that have never made a decision to follow and trust Jesus. I know that, right? And we love you. We're so glad you're here. But it starts with an awareness that I'm never going to get to God by my own trying, my own effort, my best day, my goodness is never going to be enough to get to God. That's the gospel. That's why Jesus came, because we can't get to him. He had to come to us. And when you receive that and put your faith in this Jesus, I'm going to trust him with my life, right? That's the first step. But then you'll have many more decisions of, okay, there's something going on inside of me. I got options. Here's your three basic options when you come to those forks in the road. You can train, you can try, or you can quit. Maybe there's more, but that's all I got. God has highlighted this thing in my heart that he wants to work on, and I can allow him to train me through it, which will lead to change and closeness and transformation, all these beautiful things. I can try. If I'm successful, I'll get self-righteous and think I did something. If I fail, I'll get discouraged and have shame. Or I can just quit and say, you know what, it's just too hard. I'll always be this way. Those are our options. We are a church that believes in training, and we want to step into that more than we ever have, because following Jesus is built on training. All the stuff we've been preaching in progress, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That's training. Renewing your mind is spiritual, mental training. It's habits, it's practices, it's a lifestyle. What does that look like? Well, part of what that looks like, guess what? You're in it right now. You're in the middle of a training class. You're at the gym, the spiritual gym right now. Sunday morning worship service, attendance, if you want to call it that. I don't like that word because it takes me back to Sunday school attendance sheets where you get the star, and God loves the kids that have more stars than the other kids and all that. We build performance into the gospel. It's so ridiculous at such a young age. But you know what I'm saying? This, what we're doing right now, is part of our training. This is training. Not because I'm preaching a great message, but because the Holy Spirit communicates to you through the preaching of the word, because it's not just in this moment of the service. It starts in the parking lot. If you had a conversation walking in the lobby back here with the coffee donuts or up here, if you talked to people, if you checked on somebody, if you hugged somebody, if you prayed with somebody, that's all part of spiritual exercise, right? If you came in here and you gave God something in worship, that's part of your spiritual training to give him something. It has nothing to do with, that's my favorite song or my least favorite song. It has to do with who God is, and part of our spiritual muscle is giving him something. And I didn't pick singing. I would have never picked singing because I don't have a great voice. God picked singing. He picked his people. Yes, we sing in the car and in the bathroom and in our homes. Hopefully we worship all through the week. But God said there's something different about my people gathering together, and collectively you have a part, right? These people worked out their parts to lead us in worship so beautifully today. Well, you have a part in the worship, right? It doesn't matter if you sing high or low or whatever. It is that you're part of the choir, and we're not singing to an audience. We're giving God worship. That's part of our spiritual training. So what we do on Sunday morning, worship, love, getting to meet new people, serving, so many of you. Some of our 11 o'clock crowd comes to 11 because they served at 9. So we had people at 7 a.m. here. I hear there was people at 7 a.m. getting ready to worship, getting the building ready. We have people that serve in the parking lot. You guys know how great our guest services team is. We had all of our kids. We had a big VIP meeting for all the team that serves in our kids ministry between services, worship team, tech team, all these different people. That's serving. That's part of spiritual training. It's part of building these faith muscles. I'm going to give up my time, energy, resources, and talents to serve other people. That's the most Christ-like thing you can do. All of that goes into training. We're in training right now. We can be if you do it right. Or Sunday morning can be, hey, I'm going to church. I went to bed at 4 a.m., but I'm here. I'm not going to remember any of this, but that's okay. This Holy Spirit can work through your fatigue. It's possible. You can receive something even when you didn't do anything right. But if it's just, you know, I've heard this before, I don't expect God to speak to me today, he probably won't. Worship, you know, I don't sing good, so I'm not going to put myself out there. I'm just going to watch these other beautiful people sing, and I'm going to observe worship instead of participate in worship. It's up to you. You can do this, or you can actually spiritually train every Sunday. Now, there's a lot of competition for your time on Sunday morning, more than there's ever been. So it's a choice to come and put the time in to allow God to form us together collectively. It's super important to guard and protect that time. Now, spiritual training is not complete, right? Some of you guys, some of the gym rats in the room, I see you, right? If I told you privately, man, 2025, I'm getting serious about my working out. What's the plan? Here's my plan. An hour a week, every week, no matter what, unless I'm out of town, don't feel great, or get a better offer, an hour a week, man, and you're going to look at me like, good luck with that. You're probably not going to see much results. Why not? An hour a week, because it's just not enough. So Sunday morning is great as a foundational, weekly, consistent part of your training, but it's not the whole deal. There's so much more to what we're calling, what God's calling you to outside of Sunday morning. So we're really going to be stepping into that as a church. As we get into our next series that starts next week, it's really a continuation of progress, but we're calling it something. It may change. How to have a relationship with an invisible God. That's what it's called right now. And this is not for untold and unconvinced only. This is not for new Christians or young Christians or immature Christians. This is for everybody. How to. We have talked for 10 years about why a relationship with God is why you exist and the most important thing. We have talked very embarrassingly little about how to have a relationship. Everybody you have a relationship with, you can see, right? They're visible humans. How do you have an relationship with an invisible God? You've got to, even if you have a great relationship and it's growing, you need to build on that. You maybe help us preach this series, actually, but we're going to start. That's part of your progress, because there's so many people that, if they're honest, I don't know how to do that. And if we don't talk about that, then what kind of church are we? So we're excited about stepping into that. So here's how it's going to go. We're going to talk about that for a few weeks, and then it's going to take us right into the small group. The small group that we're doing in homes is going to match up with what we're preaching from stage. We're going to go through a book of scripture together. So all that's going to work together. We're going to talk about this training and doing it right, and then we're going to show you what that looks like in your own personal life Monday through Saturday. Then we're going to go in homes and try to do some of that together. I'm just super excited about how different Relentless Church is by the time we get to Easter after these next two deals. But it's built on, let's train. Let's do something that matters. That's my thing with mom. Like, she was working so hard. She was not lazy in any way. If you're going to sweat and go through the motions, like, actually do something that might matter for what you're trying to do. So that's what we're trying to do. Maybe you've been a Christian a long time. Maybe you're a leader, staff, elder in this church, and you're sitting there thinking, I don't know if I'm really doing much training. That's okay. We're not trying to shame you. We're just really excited about what if we started training instead of trying. There's going to be so much fruit from that. That's what we're built on. And I'm not exempt. Are you kidding me? Like, training is the most important thing I do. Spiritually training for God to fix things in me, change things in me, grow me in different ways. It never gets old. Let me put some flesh on this, because I know how I listen to preaching. If I don't get some real-life examples, I don't really know what you're talking about, training over trying. So let me give you a couple from my life that are pretty easy. 2006, Louisville, Kentucky, I was at a mall. There's a lot going on in my life. Some of you heard that whole story. I'm not going to get into all that today because I don't feel like it, even though I preached on feelings last week. I became aware that as a man of God trying to follow Jesus, I struggle to view females in an appropriate, godly way. Meaning, in this mall, girl, it's summer. You guys know how girls in Louisville, Kentucky are, right? Sorry, I shouldn't say that. So, girl would walk by, I would look. Right? And girl in front of me, and I struggled to look. I was that guy, the creep that struggled to look at women in the eyes when they're right in front of me. I didn't necessarily realize it, but It was training. My brain had been trained. This is an excuse, just reality. My brain had been trained by pornography and other things to view women as objects for my pleasure. So God was convicting me on that. So it was hitting me like, I stare at women. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm done with that. That's not who God called me to be. Not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a follower of Jesus. That's not how Jesus looks at that woman. That's not how I'm going to look at that woman. So I'm going to stop right now. And I tried for like a minute. And I failed, and I got frustrated, and I failed, and I got frustrated. And it was like, God, why can't I do this? Am I broken? Like, and the reality was I had been trained for so many years, and I wasn't going to click my fingers and just try and that change. And God didn't want to set up a system where I click my fingers and pray a prayer and God completely changed. No, he wanted to train me. He had to take me into the lab and he had to break down my theology of why I thought females existed and how different my view of a female's body was from God's view and why they were beautiful and why he created that, not for my enjoyment and pleasure, the degradation, all the words that were just in me that I didn't realize, and it was a training. He had to sit me down. He had me walk through it. He had to convince me, does Jesus look at women in the mall the way I was? No. Does he struggle? No. So it wasn't me trying to be better because that didn't work. It was allowing Jesus to form himself in me to help me learn to look at females through the eyes of Jesus. Now that process is ongoing. I'm a lot different than I was in 2006. I just needed you to understand, I hope, a real simple example. I could have tried all day and I'd still be exactly where I was in 06. The reason that I'm a different man today is not because I tried. It's because Jesus was training and he's really good at it. And if you've never experienced that, you can use anything in that blank, right? Whatever it is. If you've never experienced a change, I think, look, do differently now than I did in 2023 because Jesus showed up in my... If you don't have that, I really worry about your faith. That's what keeps us going. Nobody can take that from you. Some of these testimonies you hear, they're so bold because they know Jesus did the work in me. I know who did the work in me. Nobody can take or convince me that it was willpower garbage. No. I know who it was. His name is Jesus. He's really good at training. We got to pull people to training because Jesus is undefeated. He always comes through. When it's trying, we're not undefeated. And we lose people and we hurt people. There's another example that I'm barely going to touch on because a lot of it is built into next week's message. So next week, I'm going to talk about anxiety quite a bit in the message. So when you hear that, if you've been around, you know, okay, my friend who struggles with anxiety, I got to get him here. Do what you got to do. Bribe him? Yes. Pay him? Take him to lunch? Tell him Denzel's going to be at my church. Denzel's guest speaking at my church next week. Bring him in here, and I'm going to get up here and be like, where's Denzel? He's like, oh, you thought I said David. I thought you misunderstood, but you might as well stay now, right? Do what you got to do. Let's help people. I'm not going to solve everybody's anxiety because mine is not solved, but I've come so far. So let me tell you the quick version. 5 years ago, I didn't know what anxiety was. I knew people in our church were struggling with it. I didn't understand it. So here's, if you didn't know, if you have two people talking, they both love Jesus. One struggles with anxiety, and one has never experienced that. It can be dangerous because the person who's never experienced anxiety, my tendency was, let me fix you. Let me dig down and ask some probing questions so I can see what you're doing wrong. Because if I'm struggling with anxiety, I must be doing something wrong. No, that is not true, right? So God allowed me through a near-death experience of my stroke in 2022. I never struggled with anxiety. Coming out of that, and I didn't understand. I told the doctors, why am I struggling with anxiety, right? It was a brain issue. It's like we don't understand it all. We just know when people go through crazy things, sometimes on the backside of that, your whole system kind of reboots, your brain reboots, and sometimes things are different. So we can't explain it. We can give you some medicine and we're not anti-medicine. Medicine help, doctors help, therapy help. But I'm telling you, none of my progress, and I've made a ton. I'm better than I was 2 years ago, better than I was a year ago, better than I was 3 months ago. None of my progress has anything to do with me trying. It's not willpower. I'm telling you. I'm not telling you not to try because I had to make an effort to believe that God had some answers for me in this. And he showed up in that. I'll tell the full story of that next week, of how he did, and what he did for me is not just for me, right? We always say around here, our goal for you is not to believe what I believe. Our goal is for you to know who I know, right? It's not for you to believe something. It's to know somebody who actually knows what's up in your life and can do things and train you into and out of unimaginable things. He's able. He's really good at it. He walked me and is walking me through anxiety. And part of it, and a lot of us, what we'll get to is built on scripture. It's not the only thing. But we'll go back to one of our favorite scriptures, and we've talked about this a lot, but every time we talk about it, there's more to it. That's part of the training, right? He will train you. This Roman scripture, look at it on the screen. Through him, Jesus, we've obtained access by faith. We have access to the trainer by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The hope of the glory, the wow of God, that is in your training. If you're not changing, you don't know about the glory of God. The glory of God, yes, it's through Jesus, his showing up on earth, his resurrection, his giving his spirit. There's all kinds of things. The creation of the world, all these things are built in the glory of God. But a lot of the glory of God is, look what God is doing in that person's life. Look at who they're becoming. Look at how they're loving people. Look at how they're changing. Look at how they're trusting and living by faith, like we talked about last week. It's the hope of the glory of God is in our transformation, which our transformation is built on training. So not only do we rejoice in the hope of the glory, we also rejoice in our sufferings. I'm telling you, 5 years ago, I'd have said, no, I ain't rejoicing in suffering. I'll survive suffering, but I'm not rejoicing in suffering. You know why we can rejoice in suffering? Because God does some of his very best training in our suffering. I don't ask suffering on any of you. But I know God's going to do some beautiful things through it. There's some stuff that can happen in the spiritual lab that can only happen through struggle. Sometimes that's suffering. Sometimes that's trials. All kinds of words we can use. But you know what I'm saying. When you go through rough stuff, there's an opportunity. It doesn't mean God caused it, but God definitely is going to use it for your training. It's such an opportunity to be made different because we rejoice in suffering because we want to be trained. Our suffering leads to endurance. When you go through stuff, you get a little spiritual grit to you that nobody, you don't give up as easy. You just keep showing up, and God keeps showing up, and we keep showing up. And our endurance leads to character. What is character? That is the result of training, right? You understand in the gym, if I'm going to lift more weights, my muscles are going to get sore. They're going to build back a little stronger, a little bigger. That's what happens. It's the same with your faith muscles, right? The more you suffer and you're trained through it, it'll create some endurance. That endurance changes your character. What is character? Character is how you respond to situations, how you respond to knuckleheads, how you respond to whatever's coming this week, how you respond at home to kids, spouse, roommates, whatever, how you approach life is your character. Well, suffering leads to endurance. Endurance builds your character, and character leads to hope. Because the hope is, I'm not who I used to be. I have hope that there's a God who's with me. I can prove it because he's working on the inside to train me and make me Jesus to the world. Jesus is forming himself in me, and that gives me so much hope, and it's a hope that will not put me to shame. Jesus will come through. He will not give up on you. He will stay patient with you. He will stick with you. He would love to train you. This hope will not put you to shame. You know what will put you to shame? Trying. I tried so hard and I'm right back where I was. No, I tried so hard and I'm worse than where I was, right? We don't want trying. We want to train. Jesus is perfect at this. We try to train ourselves on our own strength, on our own wisdom. We just hurt ourselves. It is submitting yourself to the training of Jesus, and we're going to show you exactly how that looks like in the day-to-day life over the next few weeks. We'll use anxiety as a way to teach that, but it's not all about anxiety. It's really about how to have a relationship with God where he meets you where you are and changes your life. I'm telling you, if you've been trying to do good or be good and you're getting frustrated, good. That frustration is from God. If you've been working on something on your own strength and it's not changing, good. We don't want to change. We want God to get the glory. True change that lasts and is real comes through training and being trained and under the authority of Jesus. That hope will not put us to shame, and that hope will pour this love into your heart through the Holy Spirit. That's life-changing. That's training. Sometimes training, it's not reading and memorizing the Bible. Sometimes it's sitting and thinking about the love of God and just receiving that. I don't know, but God does, and I hope that you do. I hope you'll go with us on this journey that we're starting next week. I'm asking you to stand up. We're going to pray together as we go. As always, and we don't have to say this every week, but we always have new people, which I'm so thankful for. But any week, whether we're baptizing like we were last week, any week, if you feel like I would like somebody to pray for me before I leave this place, this up front is always open. There are always people ready to pray for you. You know if you need prayer, if it's sick, if it's something specific, we would love to pray with you if you want that. You can come up after I pray if you desire to be prayed over. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the freedom that comes from letting go of trying. God, I know there's got to be people in this room that they've just tried so hard, and they've just blamed themselves because things aren't changing. And God, we just thank you for the freedom that we don't have to try on our own strength, that we would be so much better just allowing you to train and to sit under your training. God, I pray that you would train us as a church. God, I pray there'd be an excitement in this specific church, God, about what you're about to do through small groups, through studying scripture, through the series of how and what it looks like to have a relationship with you on a day-to-day, minute-by-minute basis. God, I pray we'd be excited about training and all the beauty that's going to come from it. God, if there's those that need prayer, I pray you'd give them boldness and courage to come forward today. I pray you'd go with us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.